Well, I brought three messages, but I can only preach one. But I was looking out and seeing everybody huddling up. And then I looked out and saw Matthew Roop, and I thought, boy, he must be tough. Short sleeves, no coat. Amen. Oh, well. Look in Psalm 1 with me, a familiar psalm. Psalm 1. Now, we're blessed here at Sweet Springs with the preaching that we get. We were blessed with Joel, Brother Joel Logan, for all those years. And now we're blessed with his brother, Brent. I've been saved 45 plus years, been preaching 44 years. And I am amazed at what Brent Logan brings out of the Scriptures. Amen. Amen. That's how blessed we are. Amen. Well, I thought of a joke, but I'm not going to take time to do that. Ray said you've got 30 minutes. Anyway. Psalm 1 says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Father, we are thankful for our home church. We pray that you would bless everyone that's come out on this cold night. I pray that you'd meet the need on every heart. We do say amen to the prayers that have already been offered up before you, Lord, that you'd intercede and meet each need. We do ask again for Chloe Clark. Lord, we're amazed at the good report already, but Lord, we know that there's still much need there. We pray you'd continue to sow yourself big for her and for the Clark family and all that are involved. Help us tonight. I pray each heart be open, that everyone receive a blessing from being in the service, and we'll praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm looking here at a couple things just by means of a little introduction. There's a simple outline in the first three verses. This isn't the message, but in those first three verses, it talks about blessed is the man. And the outline simply is, we're blessed because we're separated from the world. That's in verse 1. We're saturated with the Word of God. That's in verse 2. And then we're situated by the water. That's in verse 3. Amen. But now, what I want us to look at is what we find in verse 4, where it says, the ungodly are not so. I'm looking at that phrase, the ungodly are not so. What we're looking at is how God uses contrast. You know, Home and Garden thought they'd come up with that, but God had it a long time ago. Amen. Now, you ladies, I know if you're anything like Barbara, you watch that Home and Garden, and they'll redo a house or flip a house or whatever, and then they'll stage that house. And when they stage that house, they want it to pop. And one of the tools they'll use is contrast. Hey, are you following me? Amen. Things that will benefit one in a contrast. Well, God uses that principle of contrast here in this psalm when he says the ungodly are not so. God gives us a contrast between his people and the ungodly. between those that know the Lord and those that are still lost in sin. Those that are saved on their way to heaven and those that are still under judgment. God uses His principle of contrast. Look at verse 1 again where it says, blessed is the man. What the psalmist is telling us is, we're a blessed people. Amen. You and I are a blessed people. Blessed is the man. Now, I know that if you look up definitions and things, they'll want to talk about happy and that kind of thing. But it goes beyond happy. Because lost people can be happy, but lost people can never be blessed. Amen? You see, you and I, being God's people, we're a blessed people. I'm running a little ahead of myself, but there's never a time that you and I are not blessed. Now, we can walk away from the blessings. We can bring judgment upon ourselves and lose blessings. But in reality, God's will for us is that we're a blessed people. Amen. Now, we may not always realize our blessings, but we are a blessed people. Amen. Now, He says the ungodly are not so. You know, we don't even understand the concept of the ungodly in God's terms. When we think of the ungodly, we think of the child molester, or the dope addict, or the drug dealer, or the drunkard, or the harlot. That's what we think about the ungodly. Amen? But God's concept of the ungodly is simply this. It's anyone and everyone trying to make it through life without God. Amen? Trying to gain favor without God. Trying to get through without God. They're ungodly. What do you mean, preacher? Well, look, give a couple examples. When you think about ungodly, you remember that rich young ruler that came to Jesus, running up to Jesus saying, good master, what good thing must I do to inherit eternal life? This young man had wealth. I assume he had popularity with the wealth. He had a position, authority with the wealth. Amen. But he did not have the peace that Brother Ray was talking about. Amen. His question was, how can I do something that I'll inherit eternal life? Well, the reality is nobody can do anything. The Lord did it all. Amen. But he's trying to do something to make himself right with God. And in that, with all of his self-righteousness, he's ungodly. Now, if you ask the community, they might have a lot of good things to say about him. But God says he's ungodly, no matter how self-righteous, outward righteousness he possesses. He's ungodly. He was brash when the Lord said, thou knowest the commandments. He said, all these have I kept from my youth. But he was ungodly. Well, you're a quiet crowd. you think of another one, that Pharisee in Luke 18 that went into the temple and prayed with himself. Didn't pray to God. Prayed with himself. Though he was a Pharisee, though he had an outward righteousness, though he was religious, he was ungodly. Amen. Anyone and everyone trying to get through life and even pass this life without God is ungodly. Amen. The Lord's telling us the ungodly are not so. Now, what's the contrast? Well, think of some things with me. When you think about the blessed man. Okay? You and I, as I said, we are a blessed people. Sometimes we don't act like a blessed people. Sometimes we've got as many complaints as the ungodly.
Yeah, you're right.
Amen. Sometimes we're living by Murphy's Law. 3 steps forward and 2 steps back. Amen. Sometimes we're guilty of being just like the Hebrews, the Israelites, as they wandered. They murmur and complain. No matter the blessing of the Lord, they murmur and complain. I can prove it in a simple thought. You know this. Have you ever asked somebody, I'm talking about somebody in the Lord, a brother or a sister or another preacher or whatever, to ask, how's it going, friend? Only to walk away saying, why did I ever ask him how it was going? Amen. We don't always realize our blessings, but we are a blessed people. Let me give you just 3 little thoughts on this. When you think about being a blessed people, we are blessed in our position. We are in Christ. Boy, if that doesn't light your wood, as Brother Quisenberry would say, your wood's wet. Amen. Hey, what are you saying? I'm saying when I was lost in sin, I was in Adam. What did that mean? I was hopeless. I was helpless. I was without God. I was on my way to devil's hell. Now listen to me. I was not a dope head. I was not a drunkard. Now I won't say that there weren't things that I had done, but I mean that wasn't my life. Barbara and I met young. We married young. I went to work at Ford Motor Company right out of high school. I went to work every day. I tried to provide for her and got, we had 2 little children just like that. Tanya come along 11 months after we was married. Gary come along 18 months after that. I mean, I went to work. I was doing all I could trying to provide for them. I wasn't running with the boys. I wasn't out. You understand what I'm saying? But I was ungodly. I was still in Adam. I was still without hope. I was still on my way to devil's hell. Amen. But you think about this. The blessed man is in Christ. We are blessed in our position. We are found in Christ Jesus. When God looks at us, He sees us through the blood. He sees us just as righteous as Jesus is righteous. He sees us as one of His own. He sees us as a child of God. Are you getting this thing? Amen. We are a blessed people. We are found in Christ. Blessed in our position. Amen. But then also, we're blessed in our possessions. Now, reality is that we don't all have the same, you know, I get tired of hearing on the news about equality. We're not all the same. Amen. We don't all have the same abilities, the same talents, the same opportunities. Some people couldn't do what another person does. Amen. Okay. And by that, we're not all compensated alike. But in God's economy, we're blessed. Amen. Why is that? He's all we need.
Amen.
How's that song go? He's all I need. Amen. He is all that you and I need. We may not live in a brownstone mansion. There may be times when we can't rub 2 nickels together. There may be times we're running on May Pops. Some of you don't know what those are. That's them tires that you're going down the road and they may pop at any time. Amen. But we are blessed.
Amen.
Amen. Our pastor told us Sunday night, God's never late.
Amen.
We may think He is. God, why am I running on May Pops? Just hold on a little bit.
Amen.
We are blessed in our possessions. You know, the funniest thing is if you look back and take inventory over your life, probably some of your fondest memories are not when you had the most money.
That's right.
Amen. When I was growing up, I can remember my mama having that big old pot on the stove, putting some oil in that, and popping popcorn, shaking that thing, you know. And we'd have that popcorn and sit around and play games. That's all we had. Amen. Our son Ben is 44 years old today. It's his birthday. He's out in California, only they sent him to New Jersey for 4 days, some kind of meeting that he had to be in the Air Force. But Ben says, you know, Dad, growing up, I didn't know we was poor. And Barbara tell him, son, you don't remember some of the things I remember. Amen. But it doesn't take things to make us happy. We're not blessed by things. It's good to have things. Amen. But we've got more than just things. We have the Lord. Amen. So we're blessed in our possessions. Amen. Blessed in our position, blessed in our possessions. But then also we're blessed in our providences. Now, that doesn't mean that every day is a hallelujah day. Amen. That doesn't mean if you're going to work and you hit a deer and you mess up the whole side of your car and you're late for work and all that, that you should take 59 laps around the car saying, thank you, God. Amen. But it does mean that there's nothing that comes our way by accident. We're blessed in our providences. I think about when Daniel was in the hospital, and I don't mean to play on that, but I'm looking at it in this sense. There were lost people in that university hospital. That they had a loved one back there and they didn't have a God to give them what they needed as they were going through all that. Amen. We're blessed in our providence. Can you imagine lost people? I'm not making light of cancer and the treatments that people have to take. But can you imagine going through the treatments without Him? Can you imagine losing your mama without Him? Are you getting my thought? We are a blessed people. Blessed even in our providences.
Amen.
But our text is, then God, they're not so. They can live in the brownstone mansion. They could live on the best beach in some temperate temperature, be, you know, 80 degrees all year round, and have servants to wait on them, and, you know, all these kind of things, but they're not blessed. They can wear $1,500 suits, but they're not blessed. They could eat at Texas Day Brazil every day, but they're not blessed. I mentioned that because we got gift cards. We'd never been to a place like that. I'd never eaten so much at one time. But they kept coming and I kept saying, yeah. You need a peanut butter sandwich and be blessed.
Amen.
Amen. What are you saying? I'm saying the ungodly are not so. No matter where they live, no matter what they have, no matter what they possess, they're not a blessed people. In reality, the most miserable people on earth are some of the wealthiest people. Some of the most popular. You look at, and I can't stand Hollywood, but these people, they have popularity, notoriety, they have wealth, they have all these things, and yet they commit suicide. Miserable. Amen. The ungodly are not so. No matter what they have, no matter where they're at, they're not blessed. See, the problem is the ungodly are still under the curse. Amen. John 3:18, you know where I'm at. The wrath of God abides on them right now. Amen. They're not waiting to experience God's wrath. It already abides upon them. Amen? When you think about it, the ungodly... Look at a comparison. Look at verse 3. Where it says, talking about the blessed man, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. You and I that are blessed, we're like a tree planted by the waters. What do you mean? I mean, you and I can branch out. We're shooting up. We're prospering in the Lord, amen, by the waters. But the ungodly are not so. What are they like? Jude tells us. They're like trees plucked up by the roots, twice dead, whose fruit withereth. In other words, no matter what they are, no matter what they achieve, no matter who they are, no matter what they possess, they're like trees plucked up by the roots, withering away. Amen. We are a blessed people. Well, looking at the contrast, what will be the end of the ungodly? You and I, we have an expected end. Amen. That's what Jeremiah said. We have a blessed hope. One that Brother Logan that was talking about, you can't threaten the child of God with death. Amen. But the ungodly are not so. The ungodly, you know, man has some natural fears. One is the fear of the unknown. What lies ahead. But another is the fear of death. The ungodly fear death. The lost, they fear death. Now, I don't mean that you and I are looking to go in the next load. I don't mean we're going around saying, "Boy, we're going to heaven." Could be today. I mean, that's true. But, you know, I mean, we have things that attach us down here yet. But when our time comes, that dying grace. Amen. But that lost man, boy, if they didn't dope him up like they do, you can read stories of before they would give them all the morphine and things. They could feel the torments of hell while their life was slipping from them. The lost man fears death. The ungodly are not so. Well, I got to hurry. They are like the chaff. Look here at our text again. Verse 4. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Looking at the last part of verse 6, but the way of the unrighteous shall perish. When you think about the chaff. It was the hull over the seed. And I'm not a farmer. But you do realize that they didn't farm like they do today. They didn't harvest like they do today. Okay? You can see places in the Bible where they'd use different ways of breaking that hull off the seed. And then they would take and gather that up and throw it up in the wind. And the wind would blow that hull away, blow that chaff away. And that seed would fall down and be harvested. It's a picture of what's going to happen in the end days. The seed will be gathered into the barn, and the tares will be banished. Amen. Okay. So when it says the wicked are not so, they're like the chaff. What does that mean? Well, it means simply that they will not be able to stand in the judgment of God. They took all of their energies and all of their abilities and all of their time and wasted it in this life. And when judgment comes, they'll not be able to stand. Judgment is coming. When you think about judgment, Brother Logan touched on this just recent. That you and I will go before the judgment seat of Christ. We take that too lightly. We've got this concept that the judgment seat of Christ is like a big cookie jar. And we're going to put our hand in and everything that we can hold on to is going to be ours. And we're going to carry it on the other side. But it's not going to be a big cookie jar. Paul said, knowing then the terror of the Lord, talking about the judgment seat of Christ, we persuade men. Amen. But our judgment will not be whether we're going to heaven. That's already settled. Amen. Our judgment will be according to our faithfulness to God's plan for our life. Amen. It'll be a judgment of our works. Amen. Even if we have no works, no faithfulness, we're still saved, yet so as by fire. Amen. So that you and I, we ought to fear the judgment seat, but not in the context of losing out or missing heaven or that kind of thing. Amen. We may miss some reward, but we're going to heaven. But the ungodly are not so. When they stand at the judgment, it'll be the great white throne. When Jesus comes, Paul told Timothy, when he wrote to Timothy, that when the Lord comes, the potentate, when He comes, that He'll judge the quick and the dead. The quick are you and I that have been born again, saved, the blessed. The dead are those that are still in their sin. They're going to be judged. But at that great white throne, it won't be for rewards. No, it'll be simply a sentencing day. Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. I never knew you. That's the outcome of the ungodly. You and I are blessed people. But the ungodly are not so. Put it in a missions context. We're having a big meeting. It ought to be the highlight of the church. But the reason it ought to be the highlight of the church is that so you and I might have opportunity to get involved in reaching some who are ungodly before it's too late. There's no second opportunities after the grave. There's no second chance after life. The soul departs from the body. The ungodly are not so. Those that boast how they are and what they are, they'll not boast then. For every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. The ungodly are not so. Blessed is the man. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful I'm in verse 1. Used to be in verse 4. But now I'm in verse 1. A blessed man. Amen. A blessed man.